So I'll come to order. Roll call.
Roll call for Monday, February 24th. Anderson District 2.
Here.
Anderson District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
He's here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstader.
Excused.
Driscoll.
Here.
Amrick.
Here.
Esquibel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert. Hicks.
Here.
Hines.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Nutting.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Schiffer.
Here.
Scott. Von Flatern. President Ross?
Here.
Bebout?
Here.
Hastert?
He's excused.
Scott?
Here.
28 present, 2 excused.
Prayer by Pastor Whitmore.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I first just want to thank you for the opportunity to lift this Senate up to you today. God, it's my prayer that these men and women would, that you would give them the insight, the understanding to tackle the tasks at hand today. God, I pray that they would know that their service is much appreciated by our state. And God, that they would feel your hand of blessing on them as they conduct their business today. So we lift them to you and ask God for a productive day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Play ball. Reading, correction, approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports the journal of February the 21st, 2014, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jim L. Anderson, Chairman.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, the report is adopted. The doctor of the day is Dr. Dave Fall from Gillette. Welcome, Dave. And the nurse of the day is Paula Smith from Cheyenne. Welcome to the Senate, and we appreciate your service to us today. Quote of the day is, courage is what it takes to stand up and speak. Courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen. Winston Churchill. Maya Marcez, would you come up here to the podium, please? Members of the Senate, this is Maya Marcez. She will be our page for the next 2 weeks. She's from, hails from Cheyenne and East High School, where I graduated from. Although my kids went to Central. Anyway, Maya, this is a pin that we'd like to give you for you to wear. It's, of course, the seal of the great state of Wyoming. And we just are thankful that you're able to be here, and hopefully you'll enjoy your time with us during the next 2 weeks. And if you'd like to say anything, you may.
Hi there. thank you guys for having me be here, and I'm excited to learn a lot more about the Senate process and Thank you for having me.
Messages. Oh, excuse me. Senator Kraft.
Thank you. Could I have privilege of the
floor? Yes, you may.
Thank you so much. I'd like to introduce right behind me a couple members of the school board for Sweetwater School District Number 2 in Green River, Brad Cutler and John Malone. And Mr. President, representing the fairer half of School District Number 2 in Green River, Sherry Smith and Christy McGagna.
Well, welcome to the Senate, and thanks for what you do in your community. Messages from the House.
February the 21st, 2014, from the House of Representatives, message number 137, third reading, passed, amended. Mr. President, the budget bill listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. In accordance with Joint Rule 14-1, the bill is not engrossed, and the adopted House amendments are being transmitted with the bill. House Bill number 1, General Government Appropriation. Ayes 45, noes 13, excused 2. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Is that it? House bills on first reading. Mr. Vice President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Just a heads up for the members of the Senate, what your Senate Joint Appropriations Committee is going to do is that bill has now been read in. We have one other bill that we'll be hearing over the noon hour, and then we will receive the report on the House amendments and understand those, and then we'll come back to this body Tuesday sometime in the morning, Mr. President, or whatever the schedule allows, and go through all of the House amendments. The idea is to do that, explain them to you, and then start our conference committee after the Senate, whoever the President appoints, and we'll start, whoever's on that committee, theoretically, we'll start working tomorrow afternoon or evening.
Thank you. Senator Coe.
House Bill 5, with all the fun we were having on Friday, I forgot to re-refer that to the Appropriations Committee. It does have an Appropriations. I'd like to request we do that.
House Bill 5, without objection, is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House bills on first reading, introduction of the House Budget Bill. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 1, General Government Appropriations, sponsored by the Joint Appropriations Committee.
Pursuant to Joint Rule 14-1E, House Bill 1 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 33, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 33, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, Jury Pool Selection, Archaic Language, and Act Relating to Juries. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 33 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 47, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 47, sponsored by Representative Berger. Government Royalty Revenues Definition, an act relating to government royalty revenues. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 57, noes 3.
House Bill 47 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 173, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 173, sponsored by Representative Throne. Schools Administration of Eferina, an act relating to schools. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 59, noes 1.
Epinephrine.
Epinephrine. Well, that was close. I got the first word right.
The House Bill 173 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. House Bill 175.
House Bill Number 175, sponsored by Representative Brown. Transfer of death deed and act relating to non-testamentary transfer of death of real property. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 175 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 35, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 35, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, Select Committee on the Transfer of Public Lands and Act Relating to the Legislature. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 51, noes 7, excused 2.
House Bill 35 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Reports from standing committees.
February the 24th, 2014, Mr. President, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 43, Children in Need of Supervision Age. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Schiffer. Excuse Senator Byrne, Senator Schiffer, Chairman. February the 24th, 2014, Mr. President, your Committee Number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 71, Leasing of Equipment. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, O2, Barnard, Cole, Landon, and Rothfuss, Senator Coe, Chairman. February the 24th, 2014, Mr. President, your Committee Number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 3, Engrossed, Alternative Schools. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, O2, Barnard, Cole, Landon, and Rothfuss, Senator Coe, Chairman. February the 21st, 2014, Mr. President, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 46, Public Employee Pension Plans Contribution. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Dockstader, Hastert, Meyer, and Perkins, Senator Bebout, Chairman. February the 21st, 2014, Mr. President, your Committee Number 9, Mineral Business and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 34, Engrossed, Solid Waste Cease and Transfer Eligibility. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, O2, Cooper, Hines, and Rothfuss, Senator Hines, Chairman. February the 21st, 2014, Mr. President, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 6, Engrossed, Domestic Assault and Battery. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, Chairman. February the 21st, 2014, Mr. President, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 7, Engrossed, Unlawful Entry into Occupied Structure. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, Chairman. February the 21st, 2014, Mr. President, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 8, Court Reporter Fee Elimination. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hickson, Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, Chairman. February the 21st, 2014. Mr. President, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 9, Engrossed Bodily Injury and Serious Bodily Injury, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, Chairman.
Bill's on second reading. Senate File 11, first reading of the second reading of the Senate file.
Appropriations for the Legislature.
Senate File 11, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 30, second reading of the Senate file.
Compensation for persons exonerated based on DNA evidence.
Senate File 30, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 39, second reading of the Senate file.
Grand Teton National Park transfer of state lands.
We have an amendment. Reading clerk will read in second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 39.
Senate File 39, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 17.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading number 1 to Senate File 39 and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, what this does is direct that as we go forward to investigate the exchange of land, in the event that we're looking at mineral royalties, we accept the proposition that the current land in Teton National Park is cash, it's liquid, we could convert it tomorrow, we could go out and sell it. If we're going to go in exchange for minerals, we want proven reserves, we want reserves that are under production. We don't want it to be buying back the 50% of the royalty that we would already own underneath the, if there are federal mineral royalties right now. And that if it's going to take time to produce the minerals, that there be a discount factor so that we're really getting current cash value and for any exchange that we take place. So it doesn't make any sense to take a $100 million asset, go out and say, well, you'll get $100 million, but it might take you 50 years to get that money. We want that brought back to a current value in the mineral exchange. I urge your support of the bill.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Christensen.
I use 13%. Mr. President, having just received it 2 minutes before it's introduced, I'll not object to it until we can have a chance to look at it and make sure it's going to fit, but we're fine.
Okay. Any further discussion on Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 39? Hearing none, all those in favor of Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 39 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. Senate File 39. Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 80, second reading of Senate File.
Real estate licensure revisions.
Senate File 80, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 91, second reading of Senate File.
Digital Information Privacy Task Force.
Senate File 91, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 96, second reading of the Senate File.
Workforce Services Independent Contractors.
There is an amendment. The reading clerk will read in second reading amendment number 2 to Senator Nicholas.
Thank you. Before we do that, I first asked to withdraw the second reading amendment number 1.
Okay.
It was on the table when we last spoke.
All right. Without objection, amendment number 1 is withdrawn. We are now on amendment number 2 to substitute bill number 1. Senate File 96, the reading clerk will read it in.
Senate File 96, second reading amendment number 2 to substitute bill number 1, page 2, line 3.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I do move second amendment number 2 to Senate File 96. Folks, this addresses the amendment we were talking about last week, providing the new language, but this language now only applies to the newly adopted language. It does not adopt to the currently existing language with respect to independent contractors. For the new category we're bringing in, we make sure that the direction or control only applies to the relationship between the contractor and the independent contractor. And if the independent contractor shows up at a place that's a factory or an oil field where there may be lots of requirements for anybody to come onto that operation, that that not be considered as part of the control over that independent contractor. I urge your support of the amendment.
Is there any further discussion on the amendment? Ready for the question? Question's been called. All those in favor of amendment number 2 to Senate File 96, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. Senate File 96 has been read 2 separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so ordered. Senate File 97, second reading of the Senate file.
Appropriation to Wyoming Business Council.
Some amendments. Reading clerk will read in. Amendment number 1 to Senate File 97.
Senate File 97, second reading amendment number 1. Delete the first Senate Standing Committee amendment.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 97. Folks, this is a all but one change in this bill was staff corrections to make sure that the change that we had proposed last Friday are all implemented. There were a couple technical errors that were corrected. Over on page 5, line 17, there is a correction to the cash investment. If you recall, there was discussion about the use of the word buy. We deleted the word buy and put in the word in, so it's cash investment in the project. Other than that, it's the same amendment. As we move forward, I think the discussion that we should have this week are the elements on A through E on page 5 as to whether those are too broad, too narrow, what type of project should be eligible for these amounts, and the two key paragraphs that I think that we ought to pay attention to between now and third reading is paragraph A at the top of page 5, which is the creation of at least more than 100 jobs. So there, we're saying it has to be a pretty substantial project to be eligible to participate in this program. And then on lines 17 through 19, we're requiring a cash investment in the project infrastructure not less than 3 times. The other element that is in here is in with respect to the security on the property. This, currently, the statute provides that there'd be a first lien on the entire project. And that may prove to be somewhat restrictive if you're only saying, well, we want to take your financing and allocate it to a specific building on the project. But, folks, I liken this to the farm loan program where we, in the past, have given low-interest rate loans to ranchers, and they became first liens on the entire ranch, knowing that there would be second liens stacked up behind. And what that did is ensure that we would always get paid, that the entire property would be available to collateralize our property or our liens. So if you have now a lien that's on the entire project of, say, $10 million, and it's a $100 million project, and your lien is a first lien on the entire project, you know that the second lien holder is probably going to pay you off. If, on the other hand, they said, well, we're going to take your $10 million, and you'll have a first on building X, but not on the entire project, you may find out that building X is not very valuable. And the first lien holder comes in and takes all the collateral and leaves building X out there hanging with $10 million, and you never recover your proceeds because, frankly, building X as a stand-alone unit is not very valuable. Anyway, and the way we've got this structured as a first lien on the entire project at a low interest rate, I'd urge your support of the amendment.
Discussion on the amendments. Senator Anderson, 28.
I'm questioning that paragraph A, page 5. I wonder if that shouldn't say permanent Wyoming jobs. The entity could create 10 jobs in Omaha and 90 here, or are we saying they all have to be in Wyoming?
Further discussion? Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, just a couple questions on the, as you look at page 5, also for the sponsor. I think that's with respect to B, when I look at proportionally expands to the assessed valuation of the county or counties, as I look at that, as I understand, and the limiter on that by Mr. President is not less than the value of the loan or loan guarantees. When you couple that with E, what I'm seeing there is that ultimately, if I understand this right, it has to increase the assessed valuation of the county or counties in which the project's located by at least, when you add that all together, be at least by 25% of the project. So if you had a $100 million facility that's going in, it's got to increase what I understand B to require is it would have to increase by at least $25 million with the assessed valuation. I want to know, make sure that we're on the same page there. With respect to C, my question with respect to C would be a substantial increase in sales, property, other tax revenues. And I think that kind of goes along with B. But I recognizing that when we have a manufacturer, we have significant tax benefits to manufacture. And ultimately, if the manufacturing is ultimately exported out of either the state and potentially the country, that there's likely very little sales tax. There would be some property tax, which is somewhat taken care of in B, but there would be very little sales tax, which would necessarily come in to the state other than indirectly through the employees or other jobs that were created. My last question would be on line 21 on page 5, which was we have a high likelihood of completion. I'm wondering if we really want completion or if we really want success. I mean, ultimately, Mr. President, we can build property and we can probably complete it, but ultimately if we were left with a building with an unsuccessful project in a business, I'd be concerned that would be what we'd be looking at. So if we could just talk about those a little bit by the sponsor, I'd appreciate it.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to call a point of order on this because I'm not really sure that we're allowed to change the bill, because it seems to me the way I read the amendment, and I could be wrong, so I'm asking for the chair to rule on this. We're changing the catch title. We're changing the description. Is this really changing the bill and is out of order for what we do?
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Two things. First of all, this is the same amendment we've already passed. It's just cleaned up. Two, with respect to the question, what the Constitution prohibits is changing the character of the act, and you make that analysis on the enactment clause, which is lines 16 through 21, and we change catch titles all the time. Catch title is not your enacting clause. The enacting clause is the clause by which you do that analysis, and that has not been changed. The purpose of the bill remains the same.
Senator Von Flader.
Sir, thank you, Mr. President. I think I was, I couldn't find it in the book. So what the good senator from Laramie is probably saying could possibly be true. I just was always under the understanding we never changed the description of the bill, especially on second reading, and the catch title, too. So I'm just asking for a ruling, and if you're good with it, Mr. President, I'm fine, and I'll try to find that rule.
Mr. President, I've got here's the stat. It's Article 3, Section 20. The language says, no law shall be passed except by bill, and no bill shall be so altered or amended on its passage through either house as to change its original purpose. That's the language of the Constitution.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, and in addition, a couple technical points. The catch title, historically, we never changed them because they don't have any legal significance. They're just for our convenience, and it confuses things when you do change them. But it doesn't really make any difference. The enacting clause, if you look on the original bill, is line 6. It's being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. That's a required constitutional provision that all our bills have. We aren't changing that in any way, and we'd mess things up if we did. It's the title that we're changing, and that we do regularly do, but it does have to be consistent with that provision in the Constitution that the Senate read. So it's important that we be precise in our terminology here, Mr. President, what we're doing.
Well, is the Senator Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I've got two questions, and one kind of relates to the question.
Just a moment. We're still on the issue concerning.
Oh,
Senator Hicks, you wish to address the issue concerning a ruling that is yet forthcoming from me. Senator Coe?
Mr. President, rising in support of the amendment, but with a concern of one thing I'd like to pass on to the sponsor, and I do wholeheartedly support the amendment.
Just a moment. We haven't ruled on the – I haven't ruled yet.
You're out of order, dude.
No, I'm out of order.
You're out of order.
Not the first time that's happened.
Is a ruling of the chair that the amendment is in order, as suggested by the majority floor leader. Anybody wish to object to have a rules committee? Then I'll go back to Senator Esquivel for questions, and then Senator Coe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two questions, and one relates to the question that my good friend from Casper mentioned in terms of line 2, page 5, creation of at least 100 permanent jobs. Good friend from Casper thought that maybe the word Wyoming jobs would be appropriate. I guess along with that, I would wonder, I would think that the type of jobs in terms of the pay scale, that they would be good paying jobs. My other question or concern would be in regard to line 14, where it talks about promotion of a stable, balanced, and diversified economy. I'm not quite sure what that means, but I was thinking of the situation up in North Dakota, but there's certainly some very good-paying jobs, but the economy, from what I read, is not very stable. There's some social economic problems in terms of social conditions and property values and things of that nature. So I guess there are just some questions in that area. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Coe, then Senator Meyer,
rising again in support of the amendment. Well, with a concern on one part of it, and it's on page 5, paragraph B, where it says proportionally expands the assessed valuation of the counties or counties in which the project will be located by not less than the value of the loans. My concern there is I think this would be classified as industrial, and I think that it would be assessed at 11.5%. We do, I think, 9.5% for residential, and we tax minerals at 100%. So my concern there, if you expand the assessed valuation, say for the $25 million that's in the program, you'd have to have some type of a value on the project of $250 to $300 million. So I do have some concern there.
Senator Meyer.
Same thing that the good senator from Cody.
Okay. Senator Hicks.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would just reiterate, I'd like some discussion. I'm a little concerned on page 5. On Section A, where it specifies 100 jobs. Certainly, there's a lot of difference in parity between 100 minimum salary jobs and 25 jobs that may pay a six figure. So I'm a little concerned this may actually defeat what I think the sponsor of the amendment wants to do. But some more discussion there, please.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes his second time? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President, and honor for the amendment. And folks, this is great conversation. You know, I envision eventually that if we do this right, you look at the BRC program and look at those instances where we give grants directly to private entities, whether they be community development organizations or otherwise, this is the vehicle to do it. And we could have a series of accounts within this revolving fund. You could have one fund for medium-sized businesses, one for the very large projects, one for other-sized projects, and according to the terms of the Constitution, we could have as much as about $280 million in this account revolving through. The purpose of this particular account within the fund was to help and assist projects, and we've identified the project in Cody as an example. It may not be the only project that would qualify for this. But there are some characteristics about the Cody project that we know that we have a need to address. One of the needs is we're looking at jobs where there are at least 100 new jobs, and I agree that this Wyoming, so I'd welcome discussion on amendment there. The second part, B, I think we need to go back and do our analysis to make sure that we're talking about the distinction between assessed valuation and taxable valuation. And what we're really talking about is not the amount of which upon which you're taxed, but rather the fair market value as determined by the treasurer, or if it's state assessed by the Department of Revenue. So we need to make sure we have the right term of art there, I would agree. In the paragraph C, there was discussion about that, and we're talking about any type of tax revenue being increased, whether it be other taxes, either property or otherwise. I suppose one of the questions is, are we prepared to spend this kind of resources where no taxes go up, neither property taxes, sales taxes, or whatever, and all we're doing is creating jobs, and the infrastructure and all has to be serviced by the mineral industry. We go back to the three-legged stool under Tax 2000 and say, what is it we're trying to do? And that is the distinction that we've always talked about, and that is, are we here for economic development and broadening the tax base, or are we here just to develop jobs for new folks to come into the state, knowing that they are going to have to be entirely subsidized by the mineral industry because they're the ones paying the taxes. So that's a good discussion to have. Promotion of a stable, balanced, and diversified economy, same discussion. With respect to the paragraph E on the cash value in the project, and going back also to B, I certainly believe that what we're talking about is we want to make sure that these properties increase by at least our loan value. But certainly, if all we're doing is getting the value of our loan back, we could go out and pay for governmental entities to go out and grow. That's not what we're here. We are looking to recruit new investment that will have a much larger return on the taxpayers' dollars. But I think that's all fair analysis. On that final paragraph 21, or line 21, where we're looking for a high likelihood of completion. When that language is drawn, we are drafting at completion of the buildings, if you will, so that we have buildings. But it is fair to say what we want is success of the project. So we're looking for successful projects, or maybe both. It occurs to me that in some instances you get a successful building, and as long as you've got a first lien on it, then we'll go recruit another business if that business goes out. But maybe we're really saying not only do we want to make sure that the infrastructure, the building that we financed is completed, but we want to know that the firm coming in can engage in a successful business. So these are all good discussions, and I look forward to the third reading amendments. In the meantime, I ask that you support the amendment.
Question is, shall amendment number one to Senate file, second reading amendment number one to Senate file 97 pass? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. Senate file 97 haven't been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate file 106, second reading of the Senate file.
You're up now, by the way.
State Education Administration.
We have an amendment. Reading clerk will read in the amendment.
Senate file 106, second reading amendment number one, page one, line four.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number one to Senate file 106 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, what this amendment seeks to do is give some direction to the super committee on their study as they prepare legislation for a special session. It also provides for a timeline for a special session, which would allow for the issue to be resolved before people that want to file for the position as superintendent of public instruction for this next year's election. So, Mr. President, let me go in and briefly discuss this. Before my discussion, I'll say to the Senate floor is that this is an opportunity to give the super committee some direction so when we come back into special session, they have an idea what the Senate, this body, perhaps would approve or like to see in the legislation that will come before us. So, Mr. President, with that, we kind of set out, I think, probably the most important principle is that we want to provide the most efficient and effective system of education to Wyoming's children consistent with the ruling in paragraph AI. And essentially, paragraph AI is the Supreme Court's decision which declared Senate File 104 unconstitutional. Originally, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to see that the legislation be based on the initial legislation vesting all the powers that the superintendent had before 104 in the office, plus all the powers that were derived to the director's office after. And I think that's important, Mr. President, from this aspect. I believe that the court is going to ask this question, is basically, if not but for Senate File 104 and its unconstitutional aspects, would have the legislature invested those powers and duties to the superintendent in the absence of 104? Would those powers and duties gone to the superintendent? I think that's a question that the courts are going to ask and I think should ask. And the obvious answer is that, yes, they would have been vested into the office of the superintendent. And, Mr. President, if I go by my time, would you remind me somewhere around 7.5, 8 minutes, if that would be possible?
Really?
Mr. President, that's what we originally assumed, was that the powers and the duties are in that area. Then we go into somewhat, Mr. President, describe the structure of the Department of Education. And so we continue to provide for a director. And we say that the selection of the director, and this kind of goes into the process, and this is trying to mirror the process that I've been involved in the State Retirement Board in selecting the director and selecting some of the investment officers that they have over there. And how that process works, and it's not entirely enumerated here, but this is kind of the skeletal of it, is that you hire a executive search company. And that executive search company goes out with specific directions in which the super committee and the body will add a little bit more meat to the bones and finds a pool of applicants. And in that advice or that then at that point in time, Mr. President, the applicants come back in with some resumes. Usually there's 10 or 12 or more. The committee winnows them down to three or five, how many they want to actually interview. and of who should be on that interview committee or advice committee. And I say that it's the superintendent, no less than two people from the education department. I think you should at least have two, one from the federal aspect of the education department, one from the foundation aspect, and how many others that the superintendent wants to have. I do put in the State Board of Education and the governor or his designee. Now, on the retirement board, we have some legislative liaisons. That's entirely up to the body or the super committee to determine whether or not some legislative liaisons should be part of the process. And I put some sideboards on there, Mr. President, that we want to search for people that are successful in their jobs or come from a successful program. So I say that basically, to the extent possible, we need to get people that are in the top one quarter of the national assessment of educational progress scores. And so we want them to have that ability and have those credentials that they have been successful, and that'll hopefully move Wyoming forward to our goals of providing better education. Then I go on, Mr. President, to give some protection, more or less, to the director of the department in a couple of ways. First of all, we have a, rather than at will, it's a contract term of 5 years. The 5 years term is basically to get past the political process, past a four-year term, so you don't have the opportunity that's presented itself in the past of people being appointed based necessarily not on qualifications but on who they know or other things that may arise that wouldn't give the best opportunity for a person to serve the state. Now, necessarily the 5 years probably doesn't work every time. That may have to be realigned somewhat, so there's some flexibility in there. But basically the idea behind the 5 years is to make it not a political appointment, but to keep a professional in the department that gets the day-to-day things done and has some insulation. The insulation I'm talking about, Mr. President, really comes into how the director can be removed. And the director shall be subject to removal by the superintendent for malfeasance, misfeasance, or nonfeasance, basically for cause in office, or, Mr. President, at the pleasure of the superintendent with the advice, consent of the Senate. So if they just can't get along, the superintendent can come to us, to this body, and try to explain it, and then it's at the pleasure, Mr. President, with our advice or consent. The rest of it is like to adopt a budget consistent, and that's just boilerplate. I think that would be in there irregardless. Then we go into, Mr. President, the
7.5 minutes.
C&D, and that goes into the area of the special session. If we're going to get this done on time, we're going to have to meet on and about April 21st for the special session, and allows for a time period for the super committee to meet forward prior to that and have the opportunity to get the legislation drafted up in between times. So with that, Mr. President, I would ask for the body's favorable consideration and stand for brief answers.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Burns.
Mr. President, on against the amendment. I appreciate the effort and the time and the thought that the good senators put into this, but I think this amendment is way premature. If indeed we have a special session, this could be a separate standalone bill pre-filed for it, but I think adding it as a second reading amendment onto this bill itself actually restricts what the legislature can do in the special session.
Further discussion. Question's been called.
Mr. Chairman, in response to that, if there's no other further discussion, it doesn't restrict it. All this amendment does is ask the super committee to start with this. The super committee can do whatever they want to from this. This is just your opportunity to say that you don't want to wait 90 days or have this process go on into next fall. That's part of it. And the other part of it is to basically have the basis in which we start and have some direction. And this is the only time that this body has an opportunity for direction to the super committee. And so, Mr. President, I think that all of us wanted to try to get this thing put to bed before somebody filed for this office, so they knew what they were running for. And that's what this amendment does. If you want to extend it out and have this process go on for possibly another 90 days after the court rules, which could be tomorrow or could be 2 or 3 or 4 months from now, then, you know, this isn't your cup of tea. And I would call for a roll call, Mr. President.
It has to have a roll call because there's an appropriation on it.
Okay.
Roll call.
Anderson, District 2?
No.
Anderson, District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstader? Excused? Driscoll? Emmerich,
no.
Esquibel,
no.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
no.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
no.
Landon,
no.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Rothfuss,
no.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
no.
Von Platern,
no.
President Ross,
no.
Closing vote. Driscoll, no to aye.
Anderson,
02,
no to aye.
Barnard, no to aye. Dockstader. Closing vote. Christensen, no to aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote close. 12 ayes, 18 noes.
Amendment number one has failed. Further discussion on 106. Hearing none. Question is, having been read two separate times, should the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 113, second reading of the Senate file.
Task Force on Expansion of Natural Gas Service.
Senate File 113, having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 117, second reading of the Senate File.
Summary Probate Proceedings.
Senate File 117, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Thank you, Mr. President. I do. I move the following third reading consent list. Senate File 24, Special Elections Revisions. Senate File 25, Election Code Revisions. Senate File 31, 24/7 Sobriety Program. Senate File 34, Involuntary Hospitalization Emergency Hearings. Senate File 40, Involuntary Hospitalization and Treatment. Senate File 47, Katie's Law with the Substitute Number 1. Senate File 53, Unfair Trade Practices. Senate File 82, 2014 Large Project Funding. Senate File 83, Oil and Gas Operations Bonding Requirement. Senate File 86, Obstruction Road and Highways. Senate File 87, Public Roads Preservation. Senate File 89, Health. You're right. I got records and roads. Public Records Preservation. Senate File 89, Health Professionals Medical Billing. Senate File 93, Agricultural Gas Tax Refund. Senate File 94, Game and Fish Resident Preference Points. Senate File 100, Business Ready Community Program Modifications. Senate File 101, License Plate Vehicle Indicator. Senate File 107, Certificates of Insurance. Senate File 115, Warrantless Searches Repeal. Senate File 116, Repugnant. That's actually a Freudian slip. Expungement of felonies.
Would any member of the Senate like any of the Senate files listed so far on this consent list removed? Senator Hicks.
Senate File 40, Mr. President.
Senate File 40 has been removed from the consent list. Senator Perkins.
Senate File 47.
Senate File 47 has been removed. Any further, Senator Landon?
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate File 89.
Senate File 89, been removed from the consent list. Any other requests? Hearing none. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 24, Senate File 25, Senate File 31, Senate File 34, Senate File 53, Senate File 82, Senate File 83, Senate File 86, Senate File 87, Senate File 93, Senate File 94, Senate File 100, Senate File 101, Senate File 107, Senate File 115, and Senate File 116. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting. Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. Senate File 24, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 24, 30 ayes. Senate File 25, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 25, 30 ayes. Senate File 31, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 31, 30 ayes. Senate File 34, are there any changes? Cooper, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 34, 28 ayes, 2 noes. Senate File 53, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 53, 30 ayes. Senate File 82, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 82, 30 ayes. Senate File 83, are there any changes? Bebout, aye to no. Cooper, aye to no. Geis, aye to no. Coe, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 83, 20 ayes, 10 noes. Senate File 86, are there any changes? Perkins, aye to no. Closing vote. Case, aye to no. Johnson, aye to no. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 86, 27 ayes, 3 noes. Senate File 87, are there any changes? Rothfuss, aye to no. Scott, aye to no. Schiffer, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 87, 26 ayes, 4 noes. Senate File 93, are there any changes? Scott, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 93, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 94, are there any changes? Coe, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Peterson, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 94, 25 ayes, 5 noes. Senate File 100, are there any changes? Driscoll, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 100, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 101, are there any changes? Close. Case, aye to no. Hicks, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 101, 26 ayes, 4 noes. Senate File 107, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 107, 30 ayes. Senate File 115, are there any changes? Schiffer, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Anderson, District 28, aye to no. Von Flateren, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 115, 26 ayes, 4 noes. Senate File 116, are there any changes? Closing vote. Perkins, aye to no. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 116, 29 ayes, 1 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, the following Senate files have passed the Senate. Senate File 24, Special Elections, Revisions. Senate File 25, Election Code, Revisions. Senate File 31, 24-7 Sobriety Program. Senate File 34, Involuntary Hospitalization, Emergency Hearings. Senate File 53, Unfair Trade Practices. Senate File 82, 2014 Large Project Funding. Senate File 83, Oil and Gas Operations, Bonding Requirement. Senate File 86, Obstructing Roads and Highways. Senate File 87, Public Records Preservation. Senate File 93, Agricultural Gas Tax Refund. Senate File 94, Game and Fish, Residence Preference Points. Senate File 100, Business Ready Community Program Modifications. Senate File 101, License Plate Vehicle Indicator. Senate File 107, Certificates of Insurance. Senate File 115, Warrantless Searches, Repeal, and Senate File 116, Expungement of Felonies, have passed the Senate. Senate File 40, Third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 40, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, Involuntary Hospitalization and Treatment, an act relating to hospitalization and treatment of mentally ill persons, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, members of this body, I want you to take due consideration of Senate File 40. It says involuntary commitment. You know, in 1787, at the end of the Continental Convention, as Benjamin Franklin walked out of Constitutional Hall, somebody yelled across the street and they said, "Mr. Franklin, what type of government have you given us?" He says, "We've given you a republic if you're strong enough to keep it. A republic based on laws." Mr. Chairman, let me read what some of those laws are to the body so we hearken back to those days. The supreme law of the land is the Constitution of the United States. Under the Fifth Amendment of the United States, it says, "No person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without the due process of law." Our own Constitution under Article 1, Section 6 states, due process of law, "No person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without the due process of law." Folks, while I fundamentally believe that this piece of legislation might be trying to attempt to do the right thing, I, like you, stood on this floor sometime in the past and I upheld my right hand. And I made an oath to uphold the laws of the Constitution of the United States of America and the state of Wyoming. When I read Article 1, Section 6, I can't find any place in this section that says that you can be held without due process if you're mentally ill. It doesn't say you can be held with due process for a certain period of time until we finally prove that you're actually mentally ill. Again, I would tell you, members of the body, that I think this is probably an attempt to do the right thing, but I cannot reconcile with my conscience with the duty that I took of the oath of office. I do fundamentally believe this is depriving people of the due process of law. Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion. Senator Scott.
Mr. President. I'm more than that. I think this bill is an attempt to do the right thing. There's an effort here to get people into treatment for a mental illness quicker without some of the trauma of going all the way to the involuntary commitment process, getting involuntarily committed. That is the right thing to do. But, Mr. President, this bill, for me, is somewhat of a metaphor or an example of what's wrong in this session. It's a very complicated piece of legislation. It's come through here. We heard it in Committee of the Whole, and I know it was just before, as I remember, it was just before the deadline on filing of budget amendments, and budget kind of takes priority. There wasn't, I think, proper time, proper discussion on it. And I have, Mr. President, some reservations. There's an attorney, it's a constituent of mine, at least he lives in my community, for whom I have a great deal of respect. And he's written me with an example saying that you could go as long as 10 days just for saying a few of the wrong things at a time when maybe you had cause to be a bit depressed, and you could wind up deprived of your liberty and a detention. And there isn't the opportunity to get the hearing and get somebody out. And I've tried to trace this through, and the thing is complicated enough. And in the time available, Mr. President, I've been unable to trace it through and figure out whether he's right or whether he's wrong. And there's just been enough time pressure that I'm not sure whether we're doing good work or not in this particular piece of legislation, Mr. President. I know the system we've got now is flawed, but I'm convinced that one thing it does do a good job at is under our current laws, if you get put up for involuntary commitment and it's not essential for your safety or for the safety of others, you aren't going to be detained for very long because there'd be a prompt hearing, and it's done a good job of getting people out of it. The problems, Mr. President, have been elsewhere. Some of those problems were managerial problems at the state hospital, and the director of our health department made some management changes, and I think has fixed the bulk of those problems. But there's some other problems with the process that the bill is, I think, legitimately trying to reach. And it's probably doing a good job trying to reach. So, for me, this bill is a difficult balance, because I think it's headed the right way, but I'm not quite sure it's ready for prime time. And the area, Mr. President, I'm not sure it's ready for prime time is on how quickly does it winnow out and remove from the process the people who really have no business being involuntarily committed. And I'd like some further discussion on that issue, Mr. President. I've got this marked on my sheet as a question mark. And in a few minutes, I can't vote, maybe. And I need some more information.
Further discussion? Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, a couple things by way of background, as I have mentioned over and over. We've been following what is a very traditional legal process since mid-80s, and it hasn't worked. What this bill does, and I agree with the concerns you all have expressed, I understand them. What your Judiciary Committee opted to do is to go with a therapeutic model to provide therapy as rapidly as possible in the process at the appropriate level. If you read the bill very carefully, there are timelines, and each one of those, I consider them kind of breaker switches. For example, if the person is medically cleared, that means that they're, for example, sober. They have to be assessed within 24 hours. If the person doing the assessment says, nope, that you don't belong here, you're out. It's all over. You have to be assessed again in the next 24 hours. If the person doing the assessment says, no, there is no cause to hold. This person may be going through a tough period of life. But if he says no or she says no, there's no reason to hold, you're out. There are some safeguards built into this. Is it complex? Yes, it is. Make no mistake, we extended the period of the hold from a total of 72 hours to 96 hours. The reason we had to do that, because this bill envisions some new areas of treatment, and that's treatment in the community. Statistics say over and over, anytime you can treat someone in their own community, the likelihood of success goes up much higher, rather than sending them to an institution of which you know there's only four in the state. That's the most disruptive way to treat chronic mental illness that there is. We're trying to say, if it's necessary, send them to a hospital. But if it isn't necessary, then keep them in their community where their families and their supports are. And that's what this bill does. But to make sure it works, and I'm going to use the example of involuntary outpatient. You've got to write a plan. And those plans are very specific. It may involve a caretaker, family, a job, all those supports that make it successful. You don't write those in 15 minutes. It takes time. It takes effort. That's why we added the 24 hours. I don't argue a bit. If you structure it just right, from my colleague from Natrona County, you are correct. The person gets admitted on a Friday, and it's a holiday weekend. It's possible they could be in because holidays don't count. That's always been the case. In the law we have now, that's the case, quite frankly. We haven't changed any of that. But what you're being asked to do is stick with either a very legal, protective, lawyer-driven model or a model that's driven by health care, by healing. And it is a difficult choice. I ask for your favorable consideration.
Zermeyer.
Question for the good chairman of Judiciary. Last year we changed our DD model as far as the gatekeepers, and the gatekeepers were essentially employed by the folks offering the services, and so we went away from that model and went to an independent gatekeeper where the case managers and the evaluators weren't employed by the folks offering the services. My question is that are the evaluators in these circumstances as to the mental capacity or the services needed by the individuals involved, are they evaluated by someone independent from the people offering the services, or are they the same people? I'm assuming in some instances the evaluation may say that they have to go to an institution, and that's a local person doing the evaluation, and they wouldn't be. But in some circumstances, it may be actually the people doing the evaluation who are also providing the services. And that's just my question, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, and I'll confess my unease in the area that this question was just asked is. It was described you have an evaluation by a professional, I guess mental health professional, and then a second one. And those are on fairly short time fuses. But what I didn't see in there is the ability for someone who is outside the mental health system to take an objective look and say, okay, the person being detained says thus and such, the expert says thus and such, what's the balance here? What's the objective ability for somebody who is not mentally ill, who doesn't really need to be involuntarily committed, Mr. Chairman, although they may need some kind of treatment? What's the ability for them to have an objective hearing so that if you get, and you can, some of these professionals who think most people are mentally ill, for them to, somebody who's not, to get out of this? And that's where my unease, where I'm not sure this bill is quite ready for prime time, and I want to hear more.
Further discussion before Senator Schiffer takes his second time. Senator Schiffer.
Yes, and very good questions, and they do go to the heart of how this operates. In terms of who the evaluators are, a couple comments. The evaluators are either an employee of your community mental health center or a contractee with the Department of Health. And there's a reason that we do those, and I'll describe what's involved in a moment. But one of the things that concerned us, we did not want a cost shift onto the counties. So the state picks up that function. The state is already purchasing in most community mental health center contracts 24/7 service. So we're already paying for it anyway. We said the state will pay for the evaluators. Now, it doesn't mean they have to be. I can name you two counties that are not interested, and the state will go get a contractor. In terms of my colleague from Natrona County, what do they do? You will see in the statute that these people have to be trained in risk assessment. And that is what I'm told is that is a regular course that you take. And it's done, I think, by most mental health professionals, maybe all of them, I don't know. But to teach them to assess risk. And that's where you get to the heart of this. Because the risk they're assessing is a danger to themselves or others. That's it. If they don't meet that bar, then they go back. If the risk assessment person who has had professional training in assessing that, it's the only people can do it. That's another one of the safeguards built in. It's in the statute. I got to be honest. I've never taken a risk assessment course, nor have I ever been risk assessed myself. But you got to understand, people can be trained in it, and the consequences can be staggering. That's why it's so important. That's why we put in statute. You got to be trained to do this stuff. We don't want the local dog walker to be doing it. We want somebody that's trained to at least evaluate danger to themselves or others. That's getting right down to the nitty-gritty. I ask for your support.
Senate File 40, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
No.
Barnard. Bebelt.
No.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
No.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
No.
Kraft.
No.
Dockstader.
No.
Driscoll.
No.
Amrick.
No.
Esquibel. Geis.
No.
Hastert.
No.
Hastert.
No.
Hicks.
No.
Hines.
No.
Johnson.
No.
Landon.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Nutting.
No.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Rothfuss.
No.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
No.
President Ross.
No.
Closing. Barnard, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 6 ayes, 24 noes.
Senate File 40, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority members elected to the Senate, Senate File 40 has failed to pass the Senate. Senate File 47, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 47, sponsored by Senator Nutting, Katie's Law, an act relating to criminal procedure. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I believe it was Senator Perkins, was it not?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I just pulled this one off. This is another one of those I think you just need to take a look. There's been a lot of really good work that was done on this. It's certainly not as I believe oppressive and intrusive as it was as it came to the Senate. But Mr. President, this is another one of those things that what we're doing here is we're taking DNA from people and we're storing it. It's been reduced from arrest, and now you have to be charged. And then there's provisions to get rid of it if it's been. As it stands now, if they're found not guilty or they're acquitted or if they're pardoned or other things like that. And I think those are all things in the right direction. But, Mr. President, this is just another one of those as we look at those things where we're having now been charged. There are still, Mr. Chairman, it just comes down to this. In the end, I'm one of those folks that think really have trouble with what we see at the NSA and other things as through technology, we continue to find more and more and more and more information about us that's stored. We already have it in our statutes. If you're convicted of a crime, of a felony, we store and maintain that DNA. This takes it another step further to where where if you're charged, they can take your DNA. And certainly, there's provisions that, it can, like I said, it can be expunged. But in the end, I'm just not comfortable with that, and I ask you to just think about that carefully as we vote on this bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the bill? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, so they take the DNA and they store it if somebody's charged. Now, they may or may not be convicted. They may or may not have actually done it. And our system is geared so that if somebody has done something, but it can't be proved beyond a reasonable doubt, they don't get convicted. And I think it usually works the way it's designed that way. And my question is, so the person got charged and their DNA got taken and it gets stored if this bill passes. What harm does it do to somebody who's innocent? Because the DNA will be used and can be, Mr. President, a very accurate indicator of whether a crime in this area was committed or not. So if somebody's innocent, what harm does it do that the DNA is in a data bank? Our science is good enough so that that stuff doesn't get used to support false accusations. Now, if somebody, in fact, did it, and we got a DNA sample out of them, and when they were charged, and so there was at least some reasonable evidence that they might have done something, and then you have another crime, and it turns up that that DNA sample is a match. Yeah, it does them some harm, but it probably should. So it makes it easier for police to identify a multiple perpetrator, Mr. President. So I guess what I come down to is this isn't something where you're made notorious or anything. It isn't something where if you're innocent, the DNA would be positively harmful to you. And I think it is a useful tool for the police. So on this one, I say, yeah, there's some legalistic objections, but I can't see what harm it's doing to an innocent, upstanding citizen. Maybe somebody could explain what the harm is to me.
Further discussion. Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, just curious, under the existing scenario that we have today, when you're arrested for a felony, they collect data. They collect your fingerprints, and that's stored, and there's no provisions for ever getting rid of that. So I guess if somebody could contrast that for me in my own mind is the difference between collection data with fingerprints, and we do it now when you're just arrested, not just charged, how that difference from the collection of data that this bill contemplates and also provides for an expungement of that if, in fact, you're not charged or convicted.
Further discussion. Senator Perkins.
Thank you. I think there are some significant differences. First of all, the question about what's the harm. Mr. President, I think the harm is the exact harm that we talked about in the last bill with respect to due process and other constitutional and liberty interests we have in the United States and Wyoming constitutions. What harm is there? What harm is there in your right to remain silent if you're innocent? It would certainly, if you have the right to remain silent, but if you're innocent, you should say, you should come forward and talk. You should say those things that would show that you're innocent. And if you're innocent, indeed, what harm has been what has happened? We have a right to both in the Wyoming Constitution, Article 1, Section 4, as well as the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution against unlawful search and seizure. We have for a long time said you're not required to incriminate yourself. We have, here is not only a search but a seizure. Where does it go? It goes into a federal data bank to be kept, and hopefully if you are proven innocent, hopefully if you're not convicted, hopefully if all those things happen, hopefully you can get it back out of that database. But I have my concerns about that. But in the end, I think that the biggest thing is when you look at the right. You could say that same thing about lots and lots of the liberty interests and rights that we have, that what harm does it do if you're innocent? because if you're innocent, you're innocent. You don't have anything to worry about it. So that's one. The other thing about what's the difference between that and fingerprints, you know, generally when you look at that, you can get your fingerprints from almost anything. You can get them from the glasses, the stuff that you left around. You leave your fingerprints all kinds of places. Here, we're not talking about that. We're talking about them extracting from you. It's not all that intrusive. Take a swab, and they swab the inside of your mouth, and they get your DNA. But nevertheless, they're putting something inside your body to collect that data. I think that's much more intrusive than taking something that's on the exterior of your body. You know, the other things that you have is, you know, it's not quite there, but they're on the verge of being able to duplicate DNA, as I understand, or replicate it. So that's a problem for me. I think that as you look at that, in the end, I'm just one of, you know, I may be a little bit, I'm not a little bit, I'm quite a bit paranoid sometimes about the overreach that we have in government, and I just see this one now, a DNA database, and in the end, you know, if we're going down this road, why not just take all of our DNA right now and just store it at birth? I mean, we could do that, and if you're in favor of that, then you certainly ought to vote for this bill, but if you think that goes a little bit too far, to me, that seems to be where we're headed, and this takes us a long way from a conviction of a felony in storing DNA. Now it's something less. And vote it up. Just vote how you feel on this thing. I just wanted to slow it down because I think this is another significant question. Mr. President, just the last thing I'll say is that I don't worry about someone, an external force, coming in and taking away all of our civil liberties all at once. I worry about the continuing erosion that we have of these things as we clip them off one by one by one. And having been down here for the eighth session, every session I continue to see a little erosion. We just give them away just a little bit at a time. And I think it's really important we stop and think about what we give away and what price we give away. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senate File 47. Have been read two separate times or three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2. Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
No.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
No.
Driscoll.
No.
Amrick.
No.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
No.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
No.
Hines.
No.
Johnson.
No.
Landon. Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
no.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross,
no.
Closing,
right,
Cooper, aye to no. Closing vote, closing, vote closed, 12 ayes, 18 noes.
Senate File 47, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority members elected to the Senate, Senate File 47 has failed the Senate. Senate File 89, third reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 89, sponsored by Senator Landon, Health Professionals Medicaid Billing, and Act Relating to Medicaid, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I just wanted to call attention to the body. I have provided this morning for you a couple of sheets that you'll find in your trays with regard to Senate File 89. Last week, as you all know, was a pretty busy one, and I was not able to get this information to you on second reading, but I wanted to make sure that some of the questions. There were a couple of questions that were asked during Committee of the Whole, Mr. President. I wanted to make sure that those questions got answered, and hopefully those two sheets do a good job of that. I would particularly commend you to the fiscal impacts of Senate File 89. That goes through the transfer of funding and the fact that this is a bill that two different agencies, cannot find where it will cost us any money.
But thank you, Mr. President. I hope that answers some questions.
Discussion on Senate File 89. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, this is a bill that I've had a lot of trouble with in this session because I can see the arguments on both sides. The current system of having to be these mental health professions having to be supervised by either a medical doctor or a psychologist, that provision, which this bill gets rid of, is expensive. It doesn't seem to add much value, and it's getting increasingly difficult to implement because the potential supervisors are refusing over liability concerns in good part. And there's very clear testimony in our committee that this will improve the services that are available to some people that very much need it, particularly in some of the rural areas, Mr. President. And so there's some real positives to this bill. On the other side, this is mental health. It is very difficult to control the expenditures in the mental health area. It isn't as cut and dried as it is in a lot of the physical health areas as to whether something is justified and whether it's not. And I'm not impressed with that the Medicaid program has the answers. They talked about it in committee, and, oh, yes, we'll do a bunch of quality control in this. I'm not impressed that, one, that the structure of the program allows them to do that effectively or that we're capable of it. I think it's a mistake to get away from using the community health centers and going to a largely fee-for-service system because I think the incentive to do more in this area isn't sufficiently restrained. So if we pass this bill, Mr. President, we'll get some more good service to people that people need. I think we'll also get some service that, while people may feel good about it, may not really do all that much good. And I guarantee you, in spite of the fact the agencies haven't been forthcoming, that you're going to increase your Medicaid budget, and the Appropriations Committee will need to take note of that because it will go up, and I think significantly, although we can't quantify that. So, Mr. President, this, in my judgment, is a really tough bill because there's real good arguments on both sides, both for and against.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't care to comment on the billing part, but as far as certification goes, there are a number of procedures that are done in animals in this state, and a veterinarian is required to sign off on them. Well, I have signed off on a few of these procedures on late pregnancy checking of sheep by ultrasound and a few others. And I find it is just nothing more than another impediment to the proper delivery of good service. It's like asking me, a retired large animal veterinarian, to expound at length on patellar tendon transfer in small animal surgery repair. I just think it makes it easier. I think it makes it smoother. And I think these individuals are probably better trained than the people who are asked to sign off on it.
Senator Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't want to repeat a lot of the really good discussion we've already had on this bill. I would just like to respond a little bit to some of the concerns raised by the good chair of Labor Health. The first thing I really want to comment on is private practitioners can already accept Medicaid. They can already do it. It's just that onerous process of signing off that we discussed. I also want to talk about the justification of services. And if you're not comfortable with the provisions that Medicaid has in it for quality assurance, then I would tell you that our own State of Wyoming Professional Licensing Board, our Mental Health Professional Licensing Board, already requires every licensed professional counselor to have client files that contain, and I'm not going to read you the laundry list because it's huge, but it's everything from screenings all the way down to disclosures, all the way down to treatment protocols, all the way down to number of sessions. I think I also heard something in there about maybe there'd be an awfully lot of extra billing. I will tell you that managed care, which is really impacting the mental health services, already limit the number of sessions. Counselors are used to limiting their number of sessions. They're used to providing brief therapy protocols because if they can't, they have to justify them. They have to justify them to all the other insurance companies. They have to justify them to virtually every other third-party payment. So this is the only area where that one extra level of supervision is required. That's what this bill is doing, is remove that one extra layer of supervision that doesn't really seem to provide much supervision and definitely limits quality of access and quality of care. So I would urge your support. Thank you.
Further discussion, Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, everything the tall senator from Natrona said, I think, is accurate. I do want to emphasize a couple of the negative parts here, though. Community mental health centers already have outcomes-based mental health treatment. Private providers necessarily aren't at the same standards. I do believe that we're going to get an increase, substantial increase, in costs in Medicaid program. However, what the good senator that likes large animals said is absolutely correct. A lot of these guys aren't, the value of what we're getting on supervision isn't that great. But in the long run, Mr. President, that if we pass this thing, we better have some interim topics that address this oversight as far as the number of sessions, the type of treatment, the outcomes base that we should be expecting, because this could be a runaway. And necessarily, I don't believe it's an emergency right now for this bill to move forward. I'd rather get the controls in place before we move forward, Mr. President. So I think it's clear to me that with the possible negatives actually outweigh the positives in this one.
Further discussion? Sponsor, second time.
Well, thank you, Mr. President, and I appreciate the good discussion that we've had. It was especially good to hear from one of our professionals in the field, who's right over here, and I thought spoke very eloquently about this level of supervision that we're requiring here in the state. You know what, folks, all I can say is that during the interim, I came across the situation that you often do in this job of ours, and it was a situation where my gut told me, you know what, that's just not right. And sometimes government just has to get out of the way of itself. You know, from the back of the room, I hear the things that go bump in the night, and I understand that. You know, what if we do this? Things are going to go awry, and we're just going to spend all this money. I'm just going to remind everybody, these healthcare professionals are providing the service now. The supervision that's going on is not the governor on the golf cart, as my friend from Casper likes to say. That's not the governor. Title 19 right now requires that treatment plans be completed every 3 months to ensure that services are medically necessary. There are protocols in place. There are ethic boards and standards and HIPAA compliance and all that stuff that I provided for you on that sheet that I commended you to. These are professional folks who are very, very well qualified to do what they're doing. We had testimony in committee from one of our mental health professionals down in the Mother County, who said that she's gone through a couple of supervisors up in the Rawlins area, and they're gone. There's nobody to supervise her work in that county now, and she's faced fellow senators with having to try to get to Casper to find a supervisor who may or may not be a psychologist, might even be a family doctor to sign off on this stuff. We've brought up mental health centers and what we require out of them and that they may have outcomes that we don't have at the state level. I've been assured by two different agencies that we've got outcomes we've never even asked for. They know exactly how many times we provided what kind of service. All we got to do is ask for it. This is a chance for us to get out of the way of ourselves. Sometimes things, after 20, 25 years, things change. We've talked all about how the education has gotten better. These mental health professionals know what they're doing out there. We're not going to, those state-funded institutions that we have, some of which operate on 90-plus percent state funding, they'll be fine. The unfortunate thing is, Senators, we have a lot of mental health needs out there. And I don't think it's a good idea for us to not make sure that our mental health professionals are available to those folks out there. This is a good bill. Let's move it forward. I think it's going to do good things for Wyoming. Thank you.
Senate File 89, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard. Bebout.
No.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader. Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
No.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks. Hines, Johnson,
no.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
no.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott, Von Flatern, President Ross,
no.
Closing vote, closing, vote closed, 20 ayes, 10 noes.
Senate File 89, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 89 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business, consideration of bills on general file.
Mr. President, I move that we sit down and recess until 2 p.m.
Heard the motion. Announcements. Mr. Vice President.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Would everybody grab their goldenrod, please, and I want to give you a little update. And what you have on the goldenrod is the status of the third reading amendments that we all discussed and considered Friday. And I would like to speak to that, and it's sort of interesting what the House did, and I think this body just needs to understand some of the things they did to make it look the way the sheet looks. And you'll see that the House is like a negative $1.8 million and the Senate is a negative $34 million. The $20 million of that is a matching grant money that was passed on 30 reading amendment. It's $10 million to the community colleges, $10 million to university, one-time money. And that's a substantial difference. But what the House did in their budget balancers went in and moved. And if you remember when we first came in here and we had $27 million on the table and the JAC had put that in various spots to part of it went to the school foundation reserve account, part of it went back to water, part of it went to the facilities for the WLRC and some of those buildings, part of it to firemen aid. What the House did is they did their budget balancer in advance. So they took $18.4 million that we had set aside and left there, and then they used that to come up with a lower number. The bottom line, what this really means, Mr. President, notwithstanding the $20 million, if you take that out, that the Senate is in $3.8 million to the good and the House is around $2 million to the bad. The $20 million number is that, of course, like I said, is a matching grant number. If you turn the page to page 2, Mr. President, you'll see in the columns the House 15-16 January, Craig Rex, and then the Senate. And those are the bills that are in the hopper. And Mr. President, the big one, of course, is the Fireman A pension plan benefits. You see that $31.4 million. That's a bill that is now sitting in the Senate Appropriations Committee. You know, we have the appropriations feed bill that's in there. We have the court security. Some of those were, in fact, in the budget bill, and then they've been, now they're in this bill, and they've been removed from the budget bill. But there is $66 million. That's misleading in the fact that the feed bill and the court security had been profiled before. But the $31.4 million that's in the Fireman A is still there. And with that, Mr. President, your committee number 2 appropriations will be meeting at 12:30 p.m. in room S11 to consider the following bills: House Bill 70 engrossed, State Parks Peace Officer Benefits, and House Bill 1 engrossed, Budget Bill.
Further announcement, Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Transportation and Military Affairs Committee number 8 will meet about 10 minutes after adjournment today in S14 to consider House Bill 24 engrossed, Registration Fees, House Trailers.
Senator Hines.
Mr. President, your committee number 9 will meet in approximately 15 minutes to take up House Bill 91, Real Estate Loan Limitations, House Bill 147, Infrastructure Authority, Energy Transmission, and House Joint Resolution 1, Support of Taiwan.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 7 will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. to consider the following House bills: House Bill 25, Engrossed, Funeral Service Practitioners Act; House Bill 96, Professional Assistance Programs. That latter one is if time permits, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. President.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. up in room S14, where we will take up House Bill 32, Engrossed, Snowmobile Permit and Registration Fees, and House Bill 38, Engrossed, Taxidermy Licenses.
Further announcements? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is passed. The Senate will stand in recess until 2 p.m.